Hello, and welcome to Red Rock Relationships, a podcast about communication. Let's unpack the relationships that we encounter in our daily lives and learn about what makes them tick. And now your host for Red Rock Relationships, Dr. James B. Stein.
That's me, and this is the show, and we are here together on the show. We are continuing our discussion of red flags. Parentheses, question mark, red flags. And we're gonna be talking about something today that I'm pretty sure we can classify this one as a red flag. And in fact, the next couple of episodes, I'm really confident that we'll have agreement in terms of is this or is this not a red flag. Today, we're gonna be talking about love bombing. And who better than to talk about love bombing than our very own Love Bits correspondent, Dr. Tara Suwinyatichai-Porn. Tara, it's so good to have you back.
That last name pronunciation is impressive.
I got 10 years of practice. I know what I'm doing.
That's true. And I have experiences in love bombing as, you know, a researcher, a professor, but also someone that was a love bomber before. I was able to become aware, identify it, and worked on it.
We will talk about that journey of self-growth because I think a big part of love bombing, or which is to say a big part of getting it to stop is to talk to the people who do it and help them to figure out. So now if you're wondering, wait, who is Dr. Tara? There's a few different things that you can do. You can obviously check her out on social media. Pretty well known at this point, certainly much more well known than this podcast, but also you've given your formal introduction on this podcast more than once. So we can skip that. And I just want to get straight into it. How's that sound?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. First things first, we're talking about a new concept. And although we have a general understanding of it in like the relational zeitgeist, I think we should probably take some time to define what we're talking about. So what is love bombing? Maybe if we can define it in a sentence or two, and then also maybe identify some specific behaviors associated with love bombing.
Sure. So love bombing is the act of excessive expressions of affection. And that is usually in order to gain attention, to influence, or even to manipulate. There are quite a few behaviors out there that are associated with love bombing, but I think the most obvious one that is happening pretty much like all the time around the world is excessive neediness and excessive communication. So, you know, texting someone all the time, over calling them and liking their every post and trying to DM them, like all of those things are excessive communication and usually is a behavior that's much associated with love bombing. Other things are things like needing to control and know where they're at, what they're up to, jealousy attached to when they don't spend time with you and choose to spend time with others. There's also behaviors like needing to get a lot of validation, like verbal validation and verbal affection back. So like when I say, I love you, I need to be hearing it back. So it's not about you, it's about me and how I feel. So that's very much the summary of behaviors of love bombing.
Yeah, no, I think that's good, especially in the end there when you talked about how it comes back to this is me, right? This is all about me. I'm double, triple, quadruple texting you because I need validation, I need a response, I need to be told that I'm funny and smart, right? Right, and so I'm showering you with gifts because I want you to view me as valuable. And then when the novelty of that disappears, that's when we might see some ghosting like we talked about last episode. Is that right?
Yes, that's also another big like love bombing behavior is excessive, like elaborate declaration of love. So maybe it's expensive gifts. Maybe it's like 200 flowers. Maybe it's, you know, waiting on you at a nail salon or like whatever it is. It's this sense of like excessive expression of affection.
Okay. So with that in mind, and I think that's a really good transition into the next thing, because with that in mind, it's important to differentiate love bombing, like toxic love bombing behaviors from behaviors associated with someone who like just likes you. You know what I mean? Like someone who's like just really happy to be there and really happy to see you. How can we do that? How can we distinguish someone who's love bombing us from somebody who's just like super into us?
I think that's a really good question and a little bit hard to distinguish if you're like a young person and you're just really excited to talk to the other person and get to know them more because you really like them, right? When you think about it, there's this sense of like authentic enthusiasm versus love bombing. And it can be hard to identify. So for those of you listening, if you are the person that's, you know, borderline love bombing someone and you're like not sure, I know that it's hard to distinguish because like I worked on it myself. So I think the very main thing that I've studied through, you know, like reading research as well as talking to therapists and other professionals is the feeling of guilt that the receiver feels. So the person that's love bombing usually will try to communicate with you a lot and try to elicit a lot of validation. And if you're not giving it to them, if you're not giving them communication that's reciprocal, if you're not giving them time and the kind of communication that provides like closeness and affection the same way, they will try to make you feel guilty. For example, you might say like, oh, I'm hanging out with my friends tonight. They might go, I wish I was invited, or I wish I could come with. So it's about them and not about you. Right? Like, oh, you hang out with your friends, like have fun, bye.
Right. Yes.
But they want to make you feel guilty because they need that from you. They need you to come back and go, oh, you know what? Like, why don't you join us?
Mm-hmm. Right. As opposed to waiting for that.
That's the main characteristic.
Right, but like that can happen organically. You know what I mean? Like, let's say if you're dating someone for a month or two, maybe they're not comfortable with you meeting their friends yet. And in a couple of months, they will be. And, you know, that's when they'll come to you with the, my friend says they want to meet you, or I'd like you to hang out with my friends. And I think that what you're saying here is that the inability to wait for that is that's the red flag, right? It's not necessarily, oh, I just want to meet your friends. It's, I need this validation and I need to be with you. And of course, then that's an example of controlling behavior, which is far more explicit and far more dangerous from a red flag perspective.
Totally, because it's early on, plus it's like the need to be involved at all times in order to make yourself feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those inclusion needs. We're actually going to talk next week about maybe some of the ways in which like attachment style can relate to some of these toxic behaviors. But for now, let's move on, because I think we did a really good job of kind of unpacking like here's right. It's about the focus on self. So this kind of gets into the next thing that I was going to ask, which is about the motivations for love bombing. So if we're speaking from the perspective of the perpetrator, the person doing the love bombing.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. It depends on like what discipline you're reading these research from, because people say like there's also kind of accidental love bombing that kind of comes from their childhood and their cultural background and their family communication style. Like, some people grew up with like lots and lots of affection and love and touch, and maybe that's just the way they show up and express interest. So there's also this idea that like love bombing is not necessarily always malicious.
Yeah,
you know, because I know when you read articles from maybe like counseling or like psychiatry, they often identify love bombing as like a malicious, like manipulative effort. But if you also read articles from more like sociology, anthropology, family studies, and intercultural communication, you find that there are people that just grew up with a lot of, like, they're being showered by affection, and that's like their only mode of showing affection.
Yeah.
So they show up that way in their potential romantic relationships, and sometimes being misidentified as a love bomber. And sometimes also people like are taken aback by a very affectionate person. So I want to like start off with that motivation, because it's not always malicious.
No, I think that's so important. When we talk about some of these like really nasty relationship behaviors, like for example, like domestic assault, right? There's no, there's no excuse for that, right? That is intentional. It's manipulative. It is, it's abusive. When we're talking about something like love bombing, like you say, people can do that without even realizing that they're doing it. You know what I mean? And I think that it's so important to restore humanity to the people who do love bombing, because like you, it's not always intentional and malicious. And if you just label someone as that, they're never going to be able to even recognize the behavior, let alone seek out the necessary change that they need in order to stop, you know, being off-putting. Right. To put it.
Yeah. I think it's just so much more empathetic because we live in a cancel culture. Like, oh, this person is toxic. F them. Mm. Right. Like, how about like, hey, I think you might want to talk to a therapist because, like, you know, it seems like you need a lot of, you know, if when I'm friends with people who I know, like, tend to love bomb, I actually tell them like, I think that's love bombing, girl. Like, I don't think that's healthy. You want to talk to my life coach? Like, or, you know, you might want to bring that up with your therapist. Because here's my personal story. I grew up with a lot of like affection attached to validation, as in like when I do something right, when I accomplish something, I get a lot of affection from my family. And so I don't just get like the sense of, oh, I get love and affection all the time. And how that affects me as a young adult dating in my 20s was that I'm externally seeking people to mimic my parents and to, you know, shower me with attention and love because I'm doing well. And that in itself isn't necessarily nefarious or malicious. Like, I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm trying to make myself feel better, which is selfish. Mm. It is selfish. And someone with like this type of insecurity needs help. Like, not, you know, not like a crazy like, help, but like, you know, you should talk to someone to work on becoming more secure.
Right.
And I understood that for myself, like back when I was in my 20s, like it came from my family. However, let's talk about the other side of love bombing as a manipulative effort as well, right? Because that does exist. And for some people, they use love bombing as psychological and emotional abuse. So there is also that on the other side. And I think for motivations for those people, it's probably just feeding into their narcissistic disorder, as well as, you know, perhaps wanting to have the desired outcome that they're like expecting, for example, having sex with someone, like love bombing early on so you can have sex with them faster.
Right. So that's that's where I was going to go with it. Because what this makes me think of is the ludic lover, right? So for those unfamiliar, there's a bunch of different like Greek styles of love. And one is called ludic love, which is like the game player, right? It's all about the chase. Mm-hmm. It's all about the hunt. To me, love bombing at the strategic level, love bombing feels like an effort to play that game a little bit more explicitly. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I love bomb and I love bomb and I love bomb. Then I get what I want. Right. And then gone.
That's it.
Or I stop.
And then the ghosting that comes after.
Yeah. And I think that that's a really important distinction there that can help us determine, like, when is love bombing a red flag versus when is it just a characteristic of an incomplete or perhaps insecure person who is interested in and just needs to do that work to better themselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, like since I became a coach and I started my private practice and seeing clients and coaching them through dating, I realized like we all have issues. Like,
right?
We all have at least one issue because of the way we grow up. Maybe it's our family, maybe it's technology, maybe it's media, maybe it's porn use, like whatever it is, like we all have issues. And I think it's okay to normalize talking about like, listen, I have like one or two issues and I'm working on it, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, pretending to be perfect is only feeding into this like idea of, oh, if you're not a perfect person, you don't deserve love. And that's so toxic, you know, mm-hmm. that saying that's like, oh, you fix yourself first before you like meet your soulmate or before anyone else can love you.
Yeah, that's bull. That's hard bull. I almost swore. I forget if I'm allowed to. I don't want to give my producer extra work. But no, that is malarkey, as the president might say, because a big part of healing yourself involves developing and maintaining healthy relationships. You know what I mean? Other people who can hold you in check.
And that's a big part of my personal growth was relational.
Yeah. And same.
Yeah.
That's normal.
And it's really helpful to grow together with your partner. I think the key here is to like realize, also like be aware of the things that you want to work on and continuously working on them, and be honest with your partner that these are some of the things that I'm working with. I think honesty really helps in this case, because if you don't talk about it in an upfront manner, then they find out later, they might assume different things and make up meanings for themselves.
Yeah. Okay. This leads perfectly into the last thing that I wanted to speak with you on. So I think this one will probably get a little bit more attention than the others. So I have some ideas here, but I want to hear from you. How can we, right, as actors, as potential love bombers, how can we show affection to people without accidentally being perceived as love bombing, or without like slipping, maybe if we have a history of it, without falling into those old tendencies?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's simple. There's two things to consider. One is being mindful of your communication, and two is being empathetic. So first off, mindful communication doesn't mean restricting yourself or regulating yourself, right? It's thinking, okay, you know, I just texted them this morning and now I'm thinking of them again and it's only 11. Should I text them again? Or is it, you know, going to be bothering and binging their phone too often because they're at work, right? So it's being mindful in your communication isn't the same as, oh, I'm not being myself. So mindful communication for me was a very good strategy that I use that I found very successful, right? Like I have the urges to overly communicate, especially through the lens of like love bombing, like wanting them to know I'm thinking of them, that I love them, that I miss them, right? But is it doing anything really? Can I be more mindful of my own time and attention as well as their time and attention?
Yeah.
So mindful communication was a very effective strategy for me and for a lot of people that I've worked with. And the second one is empathy, which is already like a part of that mindful communication, but really to adjust your perspective and mindset to different things. For example, you know, if your person is like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with my friends, rather than inserting yourself, like try perspective taking and using empathy. Okay. Like, would I also want my time with my friends? Like, yes, I love spending time with my friends. So why would I, you know, insert myself to their friend's time, right? So I think with these two strategies, like mindful communication and empathetic like mindset, you can definitely combat like being an extreme love bomber.
Yeah, and I really appreciate there that you were able to give specific examples, because I feel like we throw around words like mindfulness and empathy all the time, and they don't really mean anything unless we can sit down and say, yeah, here's two or three ways in which you can do this thing. Instead, so often we opt to be like, oh, you just have to be a more empathetic person. Like,
right,
girl,
how?
Girl, if I'm not a natural empath, what does that even mean? Right. Well, it means perspective taking. It means using things like I statements. It means taking some time and putting yourself in the other person's shoes. And so I appreciate that. For me, I think also we need to distinguish the difference between being a direct communicator who's clear about how he feels or she feels or how they feel. My bad. I was thinking from my own perspective, right? there's a difference between doing that versus being excessive and self-focused. So like one little thing I'll do here, if I'm talking to someone new, for example, I'm very upfront. Especially as it pertains to like physical intimacy. I know you're that way too, given your area of research. And so I'll t- talk openly about things that I'm interested in and things that I'm not interested in. And then I'll say something like, let me know if I'm coming on too strong. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
That's just great.
something so small and simple that it affords agency to the other person to be like, yeah, maybe let's talk about this another time. And then the hard part is just being like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
later.
You know, because if you say that and if the responder is like, LOL, maybe a bit, then you know it is a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But then if they respond, you know, LOL, no, that was perfect, or nah, I like it, then you know that it's like proper communication for them.
Yeah, and I think this comes back to like, in the examples that you gave, in the example that I just gave, this is you offering the other person an opportunity to insert themselves, which is the exact opposite of love bombing, right? Where we're now no longer trying to insert ourselves or make it about us. We're asking, we're delivering a person-centered message that's designed to get them to respond to a prompt, right? And so, I mean, this is just an example of like checking yourself and therefore attempting not to wreck yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I really like that method of like asking them out front, like, you know, is this too much? Because I remember like when I first started dating my current husband, I immediately like started talking about sex, because for me, that was something that was, you know, missing in my previous like marriage. So I wanted to start talking about sex right away. Like, hey, like, what are you into? What do you like? And I just remember like, oh, I have to check myself. Like, okay, is this too much for this person? Because I don't want him to think I'm like love bombing and all I think about is, you know, sexual intimacy.
Yeah.
So I said about the same thing. Like similarly, I don't remember what I said, but something along the line of, let me know if this is like a lot.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about sex, because not only do you risk love bombing, but then you risk redefining the relationship in terms of sex and only sex. And like that can be good for some relationships, but if you're looking for a potential partner, you're going to want to be able to define the relationship in multiple ways, including but not limited to sex.
Exactly, yeah.
I've got one more question for you, and it can take up the remainder of our few minutes together. It involves a reconceptualization. The question is, is there an ethical way to love bomb? Like, for example, is there a way for us to reform our understanding of love bombing as a red flag and potentially turn it into a green one?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought about this question for a while, and I actually think it's more context specific. Like, when can love bombing be a green flag? And I immediately thought of when I need a little more like TLC. If I'm going through a rough time, like, or, you know, let's say I had a fight with a friend, or I had a bad evaluation from work, or whatever it is that makes you feel like kind of down, I think the other person love bombing me can really help me reestablish like vigor and confidence and basically all the positive feelings again. So I really do think there is like a context, a couple of contexts where love bombing can be a green flag.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to note that like a lot of those involve pre-existing relationships, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be really hard to like love bomb in a productive, ethical manner when you're just meeting somebody. Like there are very few instances where that's not going to be tied to like you and your desires specifically. Mm-hmm. But you're right. If you have a partner who appreciates, you know, verbal affection or nonverbal affection, and they're going through a rough time, intentionally increasing those behaviors can be one way to soothe and comfort them.
Yeah, like if a partner texts you 10 times a day, like that's love bombing. But if like my dog just died and my partner wants to check in on me multiple times a day, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't see any problem with doing the behaviors that we have come to understand
as love bombing,
under certain contextual constraints, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, and this all comes back to like self-monitoring, right? And being mindful, being person-centered.
And not being malicious.
Right, and of course, asking questions and having that desire to better yourself. Without that, you know, none of this really works.
Mm-hmm. Mic drop.
Speaking of mic drops, we're actually out of time. Thank you so much, Tara, for joining once again.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Now, what we're going to be talking about is something a little bit more malicious. Next week, we're going to be talking about gaslighting. And this one, I don't think I'm going to be asking about turning this one into a green flag. I think we all know where we stand there. But in the meantime, I appreciate your time, Tara. I appreciate the listeners' time. Thank you so much. We're going to talk about gaslighting next week, and I am thrilled to do it.
You've been listening to Red Rock Relationships, a podcast about communication. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. If you'd like to be on the show or have questions for us, please send us an email to redrockrelationships@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Just search Red Rock Relationships. Thank you again. And remember, it all begins with good communication.